In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come a long way together this Easter season. We have traveled a long way together through the story of Jesus and his first followers. We have seen the glory of his resurrection, his defeating of death, his victory over the tomb. We have witnessed the bright Paschal light breaking into the world. We have recounted the disciples meeting their risen Lord, some at first doubting that this was in fact the Jesus they knew and loved, some having their eyes veiled, not recognizing him at first. We have seen Jesus leave these disciples with the gifts of his sacraments and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And now, as Easter comes to a close, we stand on the verge of Pentecost, when the Spirit will descend upon the disciples, and they will go out into the world, spreading the gospel of Christ. But before that, we have our reading from today's gospel. We take this moment to stop and to listen to the prayer that Jesus prays. The first part of the prayer is a prayer between Jesus and the Father. Jesus addresses the nature of his time here on earth, that he was sent by the Father to do the work of the Father, that his work is the Father's work. His words are the Father's words. This part of the prayer addresses the true nature of the Trinity, that Jesus and the Father are one. For centuries, Christians have tried to wrap their heads around the Trinity, to grasp fully this complex idea. Now, one of the $10 words I learned at seminary was perichoresis. Don't hold me to that pronunciation, I was never good at Greek. This word comes from two Greek words, from around and dance. So perichoresis is a very fancy way to say dance around. This was a very popular and important theological idea in the history of the church. It describes the indwelling and intersecting of the three persons of the Trinity by describing them as dancing together. This is just one of the many ways in which we can describe the Trinity as dancing partners, intertwined and woven together. I always remember this concept more than others I was taught in seminary because of a particular professor. Now, the church history teacher that I had was, let's just say, a mature man of considerable age. He spoke of some ancient events with the authority of someone who had personally witnessed them. And to be honest, it would not be surprising if he had. At every class, he was seated at the front of the room giving his lectures. He never got up to write on the board or to pace around while he talked. He was rooted to his spot every class. Except when he came to teach us about the perichoresis. For this idea of indwelling dancers, he felt we had to be given a visual aid. So he called up two of my classmates to the front of the room. They took hands and in a little circle began twirling around together. I think at first we were all a little worried that our teacher might fall and hurt himself. But he whirled around with a great big smile on his face. He felt that it was important that we see this idea of movement, of united movement, to understand the Trinity, that each dancer's actions affect and are seen in the other dancer's actions. And he wanted to drive home this point. In one dancer, you see the others. In one movement, you see the movement of the group. In the Son, we see and encounter the Father and the Holy Spirit. In the Father, we see and encounter the Son and the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, we see and encounter the Father and the Son. They move through each other's movements, dancing together. To know one is to know all three, and to know all three is to know one. This is important because it ties directly into the second part of Jesus' prayer, which is a prayer for us. Jesus prays, "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." This is no small thing. This is no passing platitude. Jesus is praying that we, his followers, may be one with each other as he and the Father are one, that we may exist in unity with one another as the Trinity exists in unity with itself, that when we look at one person of the community, we see and experience not only them, but the rest of the community and ourselves. That when we look at the community, we see and experience each of its individual members and ourselves. When someone looks at us, they see and experience the community and themselves. Jesus' prayer for us today is that we might live into the full divine reality and mystery that is the Trinity. This is no small thing. This is not something that can just be done on a whim. It takes action on our part to live into this prayer, to live intentionally with one another, to worship together, to pray together, to approach the altar together, to receive the gifts of God's sacraments together, to answer God's call together, to do his work in the world together. This does not mean that we stop being individuals, that we stop being who we are. Each and every one of us is a unique child of God. What it means is we become part of something larger and greater than ourselves, that we become more complete, that we become what God intends us to be, adding our own thread to the garment of humanity. To be the living body of Christ in the world, bringing his holy word to all people, carrying the light of his grace to the dark places of the world, to be one as Jesus and the Father are one. This is no small thing. In each other, we see ourselves reflected back to us. We see all of our strengths and all of our weaknesses. We see all of our hopes and all of our fears. In each other, we see the face of God dancing in unity. And we are called to that dance, to move in unity together so that God may move through us, so that through us, God can move through the world. Amen.